At this time, we're going to turn the program over to Brother Tarwell and welcome to our pulpit.
First, I'm giving honor to God. I want to thank Him for today and for this opportunity of coming to share with you. Could I have a bulletin? Does anyone have an extra bulletin? Thank you, sir. So it's always good to check your bulletin. Want to make sure I was on here, Sister Wilhelmina, and want to make sure I'm gonna talk about the right thing. Y'all, that preacher ain't talking about nothing on the program. But it's good to be back with you. And it is my prayer that God will bless us as we study together. I would like for you to pray for me and some other fellows. We have a prison ministry. We're in the prisons, several prisons. We're in four different prisons. We're in the Aiken County jail. We're in McCormick. We're in Allendale. And we're in Trenton. So I need you to pray for us as we minister. A couple of weeks ago, we saw a miracle in the prison. I just got to tell you about it, and then I'm gonna get into my message. We went to the prison, and we were studying the judgment. And in there, we have a chalkboard, and I went into the room where we all gather, and I drew the sanctuary on the chalkboard, and laid out all the pieces: the holy, the most holy, the outer court. All of that good stuff. I drew it on the board. I drew some people, and I drew sheets and all kind of good stuff. And I tell you, I was real proud of my artwork. But anyway, we presented. I went through the sanctuary service, and I'm telling you, I have never seen a bunch of guys with their eyes about this big and their mouths hanging over that wide as we talked about the sanctuary and explained how that was the gospel, and how Jesus fulfilled everything in the sanctuary service. And we had one guy sitting there, and he had his Bible, and he was just sitting there, and he raised his hand. He said, "Man, let me tell y'all something. I have been," forgot how old he said he was. He said, "But I have never, ever seen nor heard nothing like what y'all presented here today." And all the guys were just sitting there with their mouth open. They never heard that. They never seen that. And so we told them that we got to come back next week because we got a part two. So the next week we went back and we talked about I tied that in with the Daniel 8:14, the 2300 day prophecy. And I drawed up the time period from Daniel chapter 9, where it says, 490 years are determined upon your people. 70 weeks are determined upon your people. I drew all those dates and everything up on the chart. And it was so crazy. The crazy thing about it was when we walked in the door, when you come in, they got the prison doors open, and you walk in, then the shit behind you, bling. And when they do that, all the guys that are in there can look and see who's coming in. And when we all came through that door last week, you should have seen the fellas heading toward the room. They were heading toward the room. And when we got back there, it was so funny. I was standing, sort of away from the door. But two guys came in, and this other guy was with this guy. And this other friend was saying to this guy, he said, "Man, why are you going in there?" He said, ain't that some kind of church thing that's going on in there?" This guy said, "Yeah, man, but I'll tell you, you need to come in and see this. You ain't going to believe what you're going to see today." And so they came in there, and we talked about the 70 weeks, when we tied that all in with the sanctuary. And when some other guys came in, the guys said, we heard a lot of the guys who came in said, "Man, I got to sit on the front. I got to sit on the front." I mean, the front row was jam-packed. Behind them was jam-packed, all against the wall. We had the room jam-packed last week, and those guys were sitting there. I mean, they were just amazed that the Bible talks about the judgment and when the judgment began. And they can't wait for us to come back again and to share. But we know that whenever God manifests his presence, we know that the devil is always lagging behind. So we suspect that sooner or later he's going to try to hinder the work. But we want you to pray for us as we minister in his vineyard. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk about the ugly of the coming of Jesus. We want to talk about the ugly of the coming of Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for that you said in your word that your word is truth. So today we pray that you would give us all a new taste and a new desire for the word. As we talk about you today and we talk about your word today, we pray that our hearts will be warmed. May we all feel the brush of angels' wings as they move upon us today. May the Holy Spirit be real in our lives. And may, if nobody else know, may we know that there is a God. And he sitteth on high, but he looks low. Thank you so much for your blessings. And we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. The ugly of the coming of Jesus. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 43, the Bible says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure." Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible days and in the first coming of Jesus, the people had a serious problem when it came to the first coming of Jesus. This particular scripture here in Daniel, whenever you read about the preaching and the teaching, whenever you read the books and you read about the preaching and the teaching in the days of Jesus and before the days of Jesus, this particular scripture is the only scripture that you heard the people talking about. All they talked about was the glory of the coming of the Messiah. That's all they talked about. That's all they talked about was the glory of the coming of the Messiah. They talked about how the Messiah was going to appear before armies, and this Messiah was going to destroy all the enemies of Israel, and Israel was going to be exalted to a prominent nation, and all nations were going to serve Israel. Whenever the rabbis got up and talked about the coming of the Messiah, that's all they emphasized. All they emphasized was the good. All they emphasized was that which made them look good and that which made them feel good. And that was their problem, ladies and gentlemen, because all that the Bible said about the coming of Jesus, all they emphasized was the good, that which made them feel good, that which made them look better than everybody else. That's all they ever talked about. But all those other scriptures that talked about the ugly of Jesus coming, nobody never talked about those things. Nobody never emphasized those things. And thus, the children of Israel set themselves up for Messiah failure. And ladies and gentlemen, well, before I go any further, let me read it to you from another, from lips that were better, that are better than mine, from the book Desire of Ages, page 12. The Bible, one Bible writer puts it this way. talking about what the children of Israel did in their day. This Bible writer says, thus they overlooked those scriptures that pointed to the humiliation of Christ's first advent and misapplied those that speak of the glory of his second coming. Pride obscured their vision. They interpreted prophecy in accordance with their selfish desires. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, they were unprepared for the coming of Jesus. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today as we think and as we go in our minds, if I stand up here today and I ask you, I'm going to ask you the question, but do not raise your hand. How many of you want Jesus to come? Don't ask you, you're going to raise your hand. It's all right if you do. But I'm asking the question, how many of you want Jesus to come? Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I hear people talk about Jesus coming and I hear them talking about him, all I hear them emphasize is Jesus is going to come with all the holy angels with him. He's coming on a cloud and he's going to get us. We're all going to float back to heaven and we're going to enter the city with these beautiful gates and we're going to walk around on streets of gold. That's all I hear. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible and the servant of the Lord says that the children of Israel only emphasized those scriptures that made them feel good. And when I hear and I walk among us, guess what I hear? I hear that he's coming for the people who the remnant church of God, who keep the commandments of God, who have the testimony of Jesus, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Those are the kind of things that I hear when we talk about the second coming of Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, is that all that the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus? And ladies and gentlemen, if you only emphasize and know the good about the second coming of Jesus, let me tell you something today. You are unprepared for the coming of Jesus. Just like the children of Israel were totally unprepared when the Messiah came in a way and a fashion that they were not looking. Why? Because nobody emphasized them all the scriptures. All they talk about, you're going to see the Messiah. He's going to appear in front of an army and he's going to deliver us. And we're going to change our little tents and our little huts for mansions of plenty and days of ease. They wasn't prepared, ladies and gentlemen, for the Messiah that came. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why the record is so bad and so sad when it talks about the children of Israel. They were so unprepared for the Messiah that showed up. They never heard about those scriptures, that the other scriptures that talked about the Messiah, what he was going to do, what he was going to go through. And so when he came, ladies and gentlemen, they were totally unprepared for him. And this is why when Pilate stood up on the judgment seat and he said, "Whom shall I release unto you? Jesus, which is called the Christ or Barabbas, who shall I release unto you?" This is why the people cried out and said, "Give us Barabbas." And then the Pilate asked, "Well, what should I do with this Jesus?" They said, "Crucify him." Why? Because they were unprepared for the Messiah that was coming and that came in their day. So, ladies and gentlemen, the children of Israel was unprepared for the Messiah. They were unprepared for Jesus when he came because they only knew about the good stuff. They only knew about the good stuff. And you remember over there in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, you remember when Jesus went to church? And the Bible said that they gave him the book of Isaiah. And it says that Jesus read out of the book of Isaiah how the Messiah, when he come, how he's going to set the captives free. How he's going to give sight to the blind. Huh? How he's going to do all that stuff. Well, they wasn't prepared for a Messiah like that. Why? Because when Jesus stood up in church and he quoted that scripture, he looked out at those people who were sitting in the church and said, "This scripture is talking about you." That's what Jesus did. "This ain't about nobody else. This scripture is talking about you." This scripture talking about me.
They were not prepared for that kind of Messiah. The kind of Messiah they wanted was a Messiah that would come and lead them to greatness. The Messiah that would give them riches, let them walk on streets of gold. The Messiah that would exalt them where they can sit in the high places of the temple and the sanctuary. The Messiah that would give them servants to wash their feet and clean and cook for them. That was the Messiah they looked for. They weren't looking for no Messiah to come and tell you, you got to get your life right before you go to heaven. Today we want to focus on the ugly. We want to focus on them scriptures you don't hear about. We ladies and gentlemen, you know something that amazes me? How when we are told something that's good, we block out everything else. And we so easily let everything else that come in the way of that vision mess with us. I'm amazed how when Moses told the children of Israel, we go into a land filled with milk and honey. It's over yonder. Get this. Estimations say that it was between 2 and 3 million people that left Egypt. And the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, out of those 2 to 3 million people, who all they thought about was the land flowing with milk and honey, only 2. Only 2 went in it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we forget that the land flowing with milk and honey is over you there. And we have to get there. And on the way, the Bible says, it's not easy. It's some trials. It's some temptations. It's some pitfalls. All of these things are on the way. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today, when we're talking about, do I want Jesus to come? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I don't really know whether I want him to come or not. And I'm almost positive I don't want him to come today. You know what? The children of Israel threw Jesus out of church because Jesus came and pointed to them people and said, you are blind. You are Seventh-day Adventist. You blind. You poor. You miserable. You naked. But guess what? Guess what? The Bible says in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that in the last days before the Antichrist is revealed to the world, that there's going to become a falling away. We have a Bible writer that says, he doesn't call it the falling away, they call it something called the shaking. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me read to you what the shaking is before I go any further and what's going to cause it. I really want you to know that what's going to cause the shaking. We're talking about getting ready for Jesus coming now. Just follow me. Listen to what the Bible writer says, early writings, page 270. Let me read the paragraph. The paragraph says, I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear the straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what we'll call the shaking among God's people. She said that the shaking is caused by the straight testimony to the Laodiceans. Have you ever read the straight testimony to the Laodiceans? Let me show you exactly what this is. What this is. This is what Jesus said about the church in the last days. I'm going to read verse 17 of Revelation chapter 3. He says, because thou sayest that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art what? Wretched and miserable and blind and poor and naked. Ladies and gentlemen, what the servant of the Lord and what the Bible is trying to get over to us, before Jesus comes, ladies and gentlemen, there are going to be preachers that are going to stand up in the pulpit, that are going to be church members sitting right next by you. They're not going to have to need no position. There are going to be people outside of this church. They're going to come in here and fellowship with us, and those people are going to tell us straight up and look us straight in the face and not be ashamed to say, hey, you are the miserable one. You are the one not ready for Jesus to come. You watching all that garbage on TV and on the internet and on Facebook. You the one reading all them filthy books, listening to all that trash. You the one watching that TV. You the one eating all that garbage. You the one Jesus is talking about to the Laodicea. People are going to come and they're going to be telling us straight like it is. And the question is, can you take it? Can you take it, brother? Can you take that? Can you take it? See, that's the question. And this has got to happen before Jesus comes. Now, we're talking about the ugly. Do people ever talk to you about that? How you got to sit and listen to that? And you got to say, well, yes, is that me? Or are you going to be like the children of Israel, who the servant of the Lord says that they got their pride got in the way. And they said, no, let's take Jesus and let's throw him out of church. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about the suffering of Jesus. They didn't preach that. You ain't never heard nobody talking about Messiah coming. You ain't hear nobody talking about Messiah's going to come and he's going to try to get us, to tell us to get the sin out of our lives. You didn't hear them kind of sermons. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something today. And you don't have to believe me. In fact, they don't want you to believe me. But as I travel around and as I listen to some program that's traveled to different churches, I don't hear preaching this stuff. I don't hear him preaching the Adventist message. I don't hear him preaching the three angels message. I don't hear him preaching the Sabbath. I don't hear him preaching state of the dead. I don't hear him preaching all that stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, before Jesus comes, we have got to be able, as we read in Titus, he's talking about how God is one of his things before Jesus comes. You remember Ephesians said that Jesus is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Do you know what that means? That means every sin, every besetment in me and your life has got to be gone before Jesus comes if we're going to make it in. Do you know when Revelation chapter 7 talks about the 144,000 and Revelation chapter 14 verses 1 through 5 talks about the 144,000, those people that are going to be alive when Jesus comes? Do you know that the Bible says they are virgins? There's no guile in their mouth? If you go back and study that carefully, ladies and gentlemen, you will find out that those people who are alive when Jesus are coming, they are going to be sin-free. And you know why the Bible calls them virgins? It's called them virgins because, you know, I'm still trying to get it. I'm still trying to pray in God, help me get it. What it's going to be like not to remember what it's like to sin. Virgins. That means unknown. And this is what, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're talking about for preparation. And you want to know why I don't want Jesus to come today? Because I haven't got that experience yet. If he came today, I'd be lost. We read about the servant of the Lord. One Bible writer says that the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, when Christ left this world and they was hanging around with Jesus, it said that they would rather die than commit a known sin. Is that how you are, brother? I'm just pointing out. Is that how you are, sister? Is that how you are? You would rather die than commit a known sin? But we want Jesus to come. that's not me, I'm not going back with him. We're talking about the ugly of Jesus coming. We're talking about preparation for Jesus coming. The people in Jesus, they wasn't ready for the Messiah that the Bible says was coming, ladies and gentlemen. They was ready for the Messiah that the preachers preached about. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you. Please listen to your preacher. That's why he's getting paid. But please do not neglect personal Bible study. Please don't neglect personal Bible studies. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what the Bible says in Isaiah? That right before Jesus come, it says that our dwelling places is going to be in the mutations of the dens and in the rocks. You know what that means? That means before Jesus comes, you're going to be hiding in the woods, sleeping in a cave. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When I was a little boy, my dad had a drinking problem. Every weekend, we slept with our clothes on, shoes on our feet, just like the children of Israel when they get ready to leave out of Egypt. Because we know our dads are going to come home 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with his shotgun, and all mama had to do was run by and say, "Let's go." And we all went out. And I cannot tell you today how many nights I slept in the woods, how I slept in old abandoned cars. As a boy. Well, guess what? Jesus said, right before I come, my people, the one that I'm going to get and take back with me on them clouds that you be talking about, them people who are alive that day, they're going to be sleeping in the woods. Brother, you ready to sleep in the woods? You ready to sleep in the woods, brother? Am I ready to sleep in the woods? Come on, people. We're talking about the coming of Jesus. We're talking about the experience of the people who are going to be alive when Jesus comes. And you and I are alive. And so this is why I'm talking to us. This is why I'm saying to us today that, hey, I want Jesus to come, but guess what? I don't want him to come today. Because when I read my Bible, I see an experience that I need to have. And I see a preparation that I need to be in. And ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, I cannot say to you that I am totally prepared for what the Bible says I must be when Jesus burst the clouds of heaven. Anybody in here in the army, ever been in the army? Okay, we got a few of y'all. Brother? Are you ready for the army to use heat-seeking material to hunt you down because you love Jesus and obeying his commandments? Are you prepared, brother, for the helicopter to fly over with the infrared stuff shining over the woods looking for you so that they can catch you, maybe possibly do whatever they want to you? Are you ready for that? We're talking about the ugly of Jesus coming. We're talking about what prepares us for the coming of Jesus. This stuff we hear, and basically, it's biblically correct. That stuff is correct. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus is going to come set up a kingdom. But ladies and gentlemen, before he set up that kingdom, he's going to set it up for a certain type of people. And the people who are alive when he comes, they got to be in that position and in that status before he can take them with him. Talking about the ugly of Jesus coming. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, the people rejected Jesus in his day, because they was not ready for his coming. And so the Bible says that in the last days, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus told the people in his day that before he comes, that's going to come a time of trouble, great tribulation that has not been since the world began, nor is it ever going to be after that. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I try to fathom that. Ladies and gentlemen, I've read the story about the destruction of Jerusalem. Y'all ever read that story in Great Controversy? Have you ever read the Fox Book of Martyrs? Have you ever read the history of slavery? Have you ever read what happened with the Holocaust? Ladies and gentlemen, when I read those stories, and I read those books, and I read what Jesus said about there going to be talking about time of great tribulation such as never was, I can't imagine what can be worse than what I've already seen and read.
where they pulled people apart, butchered people, slaughtered people, stuck things up in them. Oh, you name it. I don't understand how people could come up with some of the horrible stuff that they have done to people. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says right before Jesus come, you and I may experience some of that. And the question is, do we love Jesus so much? Do we love his word so much, ladies and gentlemen, that no matter what come our way, we can say yes, Lord? Can we be like the three Hebrew boys when the king got ready to throw them in the fiery furnace and wanted to make them bow down? They say, listen, king, you know, God's going to deliver us, you know, if it's through death or through life. But we want to let you know one thing. No matter what God do, we're not going to disobey his word. Ladies and gentlemen, this has got to be me and your attitude before Jesus come. This has got to be me and your attitude. I don't care what the state, you take away my unemployment, you can take away my disability, you can take away my social security, you can take away anything you want, that we want from me. I'm not going to disobey Jesus or his word. Are you ready to do that, sister? Are you ready to do that? Do you even want to be able to do that? Ladies and gentlemen, oh yes, Jesus, he's coming. But ladies and gentlemen, but ladies and gentlemen, if you only hear about streets of gold, and if you never hear about what you've got to do to be able to get there, to walk on those streets of gold, you're not going to get there. Hebrew boy said, King, somebody got a furnace right there, fire so hot, heated seven times. I don't know how you heat something seven times normal, but. And they say, well, you can throw us in there. I don't care. I'm not going to disobey Jesus. You think that's my mentality? You can put a gun to my head right now and tell me if I don't give up on Jesus, you'll blow my brain out. You think that's my mentality? Is that your mentality? Would you do that? So, ladies and gentlemen, the whole point of me coming here today is for us to stop studying our Bibles and falling in love with Jesus and his word. The whole nation of Israel rejected the Messiah because they were unprepared for his coming. But, ladies and gentlemen, the crazy part is that he had been being preached ever since the book of Genesis, chapter 2:15. He was preached that the Messiah was coming for over 4,000 years. He was being preached. But when the people, when the time came and the Messiah showed up, they were unprepared. Noah preached for 120 years. An estimation said there were millions of people living on the earth in Noah's day. Only 8 got on the boat. Ladies and gentlemen, is something missing in my math? So, ladies and gentlemen, today, maybe the things I talked about today is not ugly to you. But the things I've talked about today does say to me that it's time for me to start getting ready. It's time for me to be ready. And how do I do that? Scripture says in Corinthians 2 Corinthians 3:18, by beholding, I become changed. Ladies and gentlemen, every day you and I have got to spend more time studying the Bible and the Word of God than we do on the internet, than we do watching TV, watching stories, or any other thing that's secondary. I heard one preacher say we ought to spend as much time studying our Bible as we do eating.
If you eat three times a day, you ought to be studying your Bible three times a day. For as long as you eat. And some of us who eat all day long, we ought to be studying our Bibles all day long. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in my conclusion, Ephesians said that God is coming, Jesus is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I want that to be me. Don't misunderstand me. I want that to be me. When the Bible says in Revelation 13 to 14, when the mark of the beast is enforced, ladies and gentlemen, and the mark of the beast is enforced, and when they're talking about taking away, I can't buy or sell, ladies and gentlemen, I want to be like the children, I want to be like the three Hebrew boys, I want to be like them and say, I don't care what you take away or what you do to me, I'm not going to disobey God. I want that to be me. I want that to be me. And I pray to God that you want that to be you too. The ugly of Jesus coming. And you know, I better close. I had to rebuke myself terribly when I was preparing this message. Because you know, I'm always in my prayers, I'm always quoting that scripture from Isaiah. When Isaiah talked about the return of Jesus, he said that the people would look up and say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. You know, we'll rejoice and be glad in his salvation." And I always put that in my prayer. You know, it seemed like a little catchy little phrase to put in your prayer. You know, "Yes, Lord, we want to be among those people that are going to be welcoming you when you come." But when I was studying this message this week, God let me know that, brother, let me tell you something. What those people are going to be going through, what those people are going to be experiencing when I come, let me tell you, son, they have a reason for saying, "Lord, this is our God. We have waited for him and we're glad he's here." You living in the mountains, people hunting for you with infrared lights and dogs and everything else trying to kill you. Birds having to feed you. You having to eat off the land. Ladies and gentlemen, those people who make that prayer and say those words when Jesus come, they going to have a reason for him to come. They going to want him to come. Not like me when I said today, "Yeah, I want Jesus to come." Because of their experience. They going to say, "God, please." And I was so glad when I was reading in Revelation chapter 2 and John the Revelator, the Bible says God showed him all these end day events and everything that the people of God was going to go through, the beast and all this other terrible thing that would be happening upon the earth. I'm so glad that John said at the very end of the book of Revelation, after God showed him all this, all the ugly of his coming and all the good of his coming, he showed him the ugly and the good and the ugly and the good. And John said at the end of the book of Revelation, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Brothers and sisters, those people who are alive when Jesus comes, they're going to want Jesus to come in a way that I have no idea what it's like. Think, in your minds, think of something that you wanted so bad, more than anything else in your entire life. If you can think of something, then you both multiply that by a gazillion times, and you might have an idea of what the people are going to, how those people are going to be glad when Jesus bursts through the clouds of heaven on that day. But ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, those people who are glad when Jesus comes, when they say what they say when he bursts through the clouds, those people have been prepared. They've been prepared for that. Ladies and gentlemen, my only point to you today is, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got to be prepared for Jesus to come. And we got to be prepared according to what the Bible says. We got to be expecting the right kind of Jesus when he comes, ladies and gentlemen. The children of Israel, the Jesus that showed up wasn't what they had been taught. If you and I are alive when Jesus comes, ladies and gentlemen, everything that I talked about today is true and it's real and it's going to happen. And if you're going to be in that number that goes up with Jesus when he's come back, if you are alive, I'm talking about, you can be dead and go, but I'm just saying, if you are alive, this is going to be our experience. We're going to experience the ugly of his coming. My closing scripture is one I always quote in my prayers. Right before Jesus left, he said, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world." And ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer today. Just like Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," my prayer for you today is this, that you and I, we will never leave and never forsake Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, today, we hear so much on the radio. Sometimes we hear so much from our own pulpits. But Lord, today, somebody said a while ago that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And Lord, today, we all here today, we are alive. And so we don't know where we will be on that day when Jesus comes. But we know today that we got to be prepared. You said if any of us love the world, that love of the Father is not in him. So please take the love of the world out of us. We pray today that we will stop getting ready, and that we'll be ready. We're asking you for a real walk in relationship with you is what we really want. We're not asking you to build us up and get big heads and think that we can do something. That's not what we're praying for. We're praying like what Paul, when he talked about, when he said, if I'm in Christ, when I'm weak, then I'm strong because I'm dependent upon him. And that's what we want to be, God. We want to be weak ourselves, but we want to be strong in dependence upon you and trust and confidence in you. And let us know that when the Bible says that in the last day, when you say that here are the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, God, let us to know that we've got to have faith like Jesus. Because I remember when Jesus was here, he told people in his day that the foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man got nowhere to lay his head. Father God, if that becomes our experience, help us to still trust you and love you. And even when if we're in a boat and it's about to sink and the storm is raging, help us to be able to sleep in peace because we have a relationship with you and we know that you said that nobody can pluck you out of my hand once you're in my hand. And so God, today, please help all of us to be totally committed to you. And so Father, please look at every one of us, every one of our lives. You know what we need. You know where we're at spiritually. You know what we need, God. Please help us today to want it. Help us today, God, to see the beauty of it. Help us to see how good it is when we can walk with you in righteousness and have a clear conscience all the day long. Help us to love and want righteousness in our lives, God. Help us to want to be able to think good about people no matter what their color is, what their status is, what they may have done to us, or how they look at us. No matter what it is, God, please help us to desire purity on the inside. And today in our scripture, you said we ought to deny worldly lusts and ungodliness in all forms, in all fashions. God, help us today to walk purity. So, Father, please help every one of us in here to have a personal Bible study with you every day. Help us to try to see you. Help us, as the scripture says in Corinthians 3:18, by beholding we become changed. Help us to see how good you are, how loving you are, and how powerful you are, and how you can change our lives and you can make us like you, that we can go through anything
not in our own strength, but because we are dependent upon you and we're in your hands. Father God, please today. Please, God, please. No matter what kind of experience you need to take anybody through in this church, God, I know that in the end, no matter what you take them through, I know that in the end that they'll be glad you did. Because everything you have to take away to get us to heaven, God, you're going to give it right back to us when we get there. And so please, God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon every person here. And God, if we're not spiritual, if we're not religious, if we don't believe in you, if we're not studying our Bible, God, put something in us today that say, well, you know, I might ought to start looking at this thing. I might ought to start considering God in the Bible. No matter what their spiritual condition is, God, I ask you today to put something in them. I don't know how you're going to draw it and how you're going to do it, but do it, God, please. I know they'll thank you. I know they'll come along with everybody else who throw their crowns down in front of your feet and worship you. I know they'll be glad you did. And so, Father, we thank you again for just reminding us. And God, and that's the way we want to look at today. All that we have heard. We want to thank you for reminding us that we need to prepare. That this thing is serious. Thank you, God, for reminding us that we need to be ready for your coming. It's not just glory. You said all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not all glory, but it's worth the glory, as Paul says. It's worth it. These things we pray, God, forgive us for our weaknesses and our transgressions. God, please help us to want it and to do what it takes to get it. These things we pray and we ask and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.